title of this message is simply, When Grace Breaks In. When grace breaks in. You know, to interrupt means enter, to get between, ruption, to break. And so if I said grace interrupts, as soon as you think that's a rude thing, because most of the time people say, I don't mean to interrupt you, but they do anyways, right? I don't mean to. Well, you just did what you didn't mean to do. So, and usually we consider it a rude thing. But when grace does it, it's a good thing. It's for our own good. So here we have Joseph. Here is his plan. See, I'm not talking about the plan's always a bad plan. It was a good plan. Here's Joseph. He's going to marry Mary, the woman that he loves. It's a normal plan. It's a right plan. I mean, that's a normal thing, right? He's going to marry Mary, but grace broke in and made it a better plan. And see, what happens is, here's his plan. See, the truth of the matter is, I can honestly confess to you, I don't know what I need. I need grace to break in. I need God to come in. Now, when grace breaks in, you understand it's his plan. See, a lot of times, Lena mentioned the book, F.F. Bosworth. Well, the story of F.F. Bosworth is he had a terminally ill illness, and the doctor said, you're going to die. So he was on his way to tell his family the last goodbye, but grace broke in. He went to a service at church, and he wasn't planning it. See, he wasn't his plan. He wasn't reaching out for healing. He wasn't thinking about healing. Grace stepped into his life and broke in. He went to a service that believed in healing, and then he got healed. See, he had an interruption. In between a breaking. See, his plan. See, God got in between his plan and broke his plan and made a better plan. That's how we have a book, Christ the Healer. Because God broke in, grace broke in. And why do we have, let's read this. This is how the birth of the Messiah of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. See, here's the deal. Mary became pregnant, and Joseph knew it. I don't know if she just began to grow. I don't know. So he, for a moment, he thought his plans was ruined. It's over. I don't know. In your life, sometimes our plans get messed up. Sometimes it's our own wrong decisions, but this was a good plan. See, as good as your plans are, God has a better plan. But you need grace to break in. When I say grace, grace is a person. That person is Jesus. So really, when Jesus breaks into your life, he changes it. See, as good as your plan is, he has a better plan. See, I'm looking around the room. I know some of you are here because you got a phone call. You know, when I was in Roswell, New Mexico, I didn't plan to come to Houston. I didn't go, Lord, send me to Houston. A group came that I got attached to. See, God has a better plan for your life, and he has more things for you than you're praying. And see, we live our life, and we pray for this, and we pray for that, but we need grace to break into every area of our life. See, we need grace. We need Jesus to come in and show us his plan. Now, if it's his plan, then he'll give you the passion for it. He'll give you the provision for it. He'll give you the power for it to produce what he proclaimed over your life. See, in that, in his plan, is the power and the provision to produce what he's called you to do. See, I can't do it. That's what happens. That's why a lot of people don't have a problem with Jesus Christ, because first you must admit you have a need. There's a huge gap. You know, if I compare myself to Jeffrey Dahmer, I'm pretty good, or Ted Bundy, or some of these other guys. But you must understand, when you get, you're going to get compared to perfection. See, we're all going to stand before a throne, a judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne, and you get stand before perfection, there's a huge gap. He's not comparing us to Joe or your coworker or the person that ripped you off. You're going to be compared to perfection. See, grace broke in. Jesus broke in. It was always his plan. Jesus was always God's plan. So man didn't go, you know what? We need a Savior. Lord, send us a Savior. And then God goes, you know what? You're right. No, it was his plan all along. So let's consider. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord broke in. He interrupted Joseph's plan to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Who said it? The Lord. Whose plan was it? The Lord. It was God's plan. See, God has a plan over your life that's bigger than you. And he wants to break in. And so, you know, I use this as a... and, you know, I know Joseph and Mary, I wonder if they had an odd conversation, you know, because when Jesus was born, they're like, you know, Joseph, we're going to have to tell Jesus one day, you're not the father. You know, I wonder how Mary pondered a lot of things in her heart, because she didn't really fully understand the plan. We really do not fully understand. You may think you're walking it, but there's more to it. We don't fully understand. She pondered things in her heart. She didn't fully understand. When Jesus died on the cross, Mary didn't go, don't worry, boys, and 3 days later, he's going to rise again. Right. No, they wept like it was a finality. And the Bible says 3 days later, Jesus rose again. But if you're living at that time, there was no 3 days. It was a finality. It's over. See, they didn't have a New Testament to go to and to read ahead to and to chapter 7. So you may be in chapter 6 and you don't know what's in chapter 7, but we need grace to break in. Jesus, the person, to come in. F.F. Bosworth was on his way to die, to tell his family the last goodbye, but grace broke in. He went to a church service and God broke in and healed him. That's where that book came from. A man that was dying, grace broke in, the person. So, you know, like Mary and Joseph, you know, Joseph, we got to tell him. Mary probably thought, this is going to be an odd conversation. Jesus, Joseph is really not your father. Well, who's my dad? Well, it's God. Because you remember Mary, she told Jesus when he was 12, didn't you know your father and I were worried? But Jesus said, didn't you know I'd be about my father's business? See, Mary, I know something you don't know because I am the plan. I'm grace. I'm the intersection, the interruption between your plans and the bad plans or the good plans. See, Joseph was not living a bad plan. Getting married was not a bad plan. I'm not just talking about pulling you out of sin. Yes, that happens. But I'm talking about your good plans need to be his plans. Grace needs to break in because you are not smart enough to figure everything out. You're not asking for everything you need. You don't see everything you need to see. We need grace to break in, and he's done it over and over and over. There's Moses living his life day in, mundane, just happy to be alive on the backside of the desert, and grace broke in. He turned aside from his plan and saw a plant that was on fire. Grace. See, we read these stories. Those are accounts. You know, it's like people think that, you know, the children's church, that's, you know, we'll keep all David and Goliath, Moses. Friends, those really happened. The rocks have cried out. Archaeologists have digged up the cities, have looked at the things. There's more evidence for Jesus being alive on the earth than Alexander the Great. Over and over and over, grace broke in. So I don't know about you, but I need grace to break in. You know, so interruption. We need the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, to interrupt us. You know, it's not a rude thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. You know, I know this is a small example, but if I was like Cammie Mullen, she always, like, you know, gives a lot of these little things out, people, reminders. But I was at Home Depot and I was in line and I was exchanging things. I bought a universal part. On the top of every universal part, it just should simply say, good luck. This one didn't work. So I'm back in line. There's two people in front of me and they're, you know, the receipts. So I get up there and I see a lady, you know, and, you know, they didn't get any candy canes. I didn't know she had any candy canes in her pockets, you know, and so I says, is there a contest here? On her apron was all kinds of stuff, right? And I go, she goes, no. I go, if there was a contest, you would win. And I'm leaving. Interrupt to get between and break up. I'm leaving. And she says, wait a minute. She interrupted my leaving. And she goes, here you go. Just a small example. And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to give you something sweet that you do not have. Wow. He wants to get in between. And his plan has the provision and it has the power to produce what he's proclaimed over your life. Years ago, Pastor Easy was a developer. Buildings. He didn't go, I want to work with young people. Lena was teaching women. They didn't pray one night. Go, oh, we want to work with young people. But they heard a knock on the door that interrupted their daily living and says, you need to get away and hear from God because he wants to interrupt your life. He has a bigger plan. And in his plan is the provision and the passion and the power and everything to work with young people. See, we didn't come up with it. You must understand, it's not your plan. Because if it's your plan, you need to have the provision, the power, the passion. You need to have all the answers. You need to know where to go. You need to know all the people. You need to know everything. But if it's his plan, it's all on him. Jesus took everything on the cross. Everything. All your shame, all your guilt. With his left hand, he washed away your sins. And with his right hand, he grabbed your destiny. And he interrupted. In between the two thieves, he interrupted. Grace interrupted. See, Jesus isn't in a manger. He's not in the tomb. He's not on the cross. He's on the throne. And grace is a person, and he wants to interrupt your life. See, there he was, F.S. Bosworth. I'm going to tell my family I'm going to die. Did not think about it. There's a God with power that can heal. But he goes into a service, and God interrupted his life. Friends, I need to be interrupted. Grace is not just a feeling. I hope I have grace to sustain. Grace is a person. That person is Jesus Christ, and he has better plans than you have for yourself. I didn't say easier plans. I didn't say more comfortable plans. I didn't say more leisurely plans. I didn't say plans that give you more vacations. I didn't say plans that give you more money. I didn't say plans that give you more fame. I didn't say plans that give you more status. I said plans that give you more influence to affect eternity. And the only thing that lives forever is people. Buildings will be crushed. Bank accounts will be nothing. The only thing that lasts forever is people. And so when Lena says, here's the book, Christ the Healer, you can think two things. You can think this is Lena's idea, or you can think God put something in her life to give it to us. See, is Lena asking you for a book, or does God know this is a healing center and he wants to do something, stir us up again? See, in that plan, a healing center is the power and the provision to carry out what he's proclaimed. But what does he need? He needs the people. The greatest obstacle to the will of God is the will of man. It's not Satan. The greatest obstacle to the will of God is the will of man. Friend, your will is his greatest obstacle. It's my will. Am I getting too loud for Christmas? See, here's the thing. Millions of people are going to church today. And they're going to hear a little message that's not going to change their life. It's not going to intersect their life. They're going to have lights, and they're going to have a little manger, and they're going to have some Christmas songs. And Jesus was born long ago. He was born to interrupt the demonic and satanic plans to forgive you of your sins. And the greatest obstacle to his plan is my plan. My good plan is his greatest obstacle, his great plan. My good plan. I just want to get married. I just want to be like everybody else. Everybody else is getting married. I just want to marry. I love Mary. Joseph, I want to interrupt your life. Between. Ruption to break. I want to get in between and break up your plan and bring a good plan. Now, if Joseph would have married, and God wouldn't have interrupted his life, you would not even know who the carpenter's son. Because most people in here can't name their great-great-great-grandpa. Can't do it. I have a scroll of my family's history, and I roll it out, and I don't even know these names. But because he let God interrupt, his influence is for eternity. Jesus, the carpenter's son. See, not a lot's mentioned about Joseph, but he was the one that God interrupted his plan. He interrupted Mary's plans, and he brought them together, and there was a conception, and he wants to take your will and his will and bring a conception into birth, what he's called to birth. Yeah. See, there was 400 silent years, and then there was crying in the manger. So you may have silence in your life or not something that's going on, friends. He's working behind the scenes for grace to break in. All you need to do is to be willing to let the one that has the plan. That'll give you the passion for the plan and the power and the provision. And sometimes the passion comes after the yes. Because what I want is the desire. Pastors Easy and Lena, they didn't have a desire for work with young people. They said yes before the passion came. Because what I want is the whole list. God, if I give this money, how much are you going to give me back? God, if I go to this country, how big will the crusade be? God, if I marry this person, how happy will I be? God, give me the list. And God says, just simply obey. It's like the man that was given an altar call, a great evangelist I know. I know you guys heard the story before, but he's an evangelist. He gives altar calls for people to receive Christ, and he was at a banquet with pastors, and he knew these men, and God says, give an altar call. So now he's wrestling with God in his head. God wants to interrupt his normal routine, get in between and break up, and he says, God, they're saved. And God says, give an altar call. See, God doesn't always explain to you what's going to happen before the why. He just says, do it. Will you obey? He says, give an altar call. And he says, just wrestle. God, this is embarrassing. I know these men. It's like me giving an altar call today. God says, give an altar call. So he says, I just give an altar call. He closed his eyes and he heard crying. He lifted up and he saw the waitress and the busboy and the kitchen staff. See, God didn't say, if you give an altar call, these people will get saved. See, that's what I want. God, if you interrupt my life, what's going to happen? What's going to be the produce of it? He just says, trust me. Because faith is trust. How do you spell faith? T-R-U-S-T. See, God, I want to know. If I go to this country, who am I going to know? Who am I going to meet? God, if I do this, move here, if I plant myself in this church, God, I want to know the fruit of it. And he says, grace is a person, so you can trust the person. We want to trust the outcome. But we need to trust the person of Jesus Christ and let him break into our life. And because Joseph received Mary but didn't have relations with her, Jesus was born. And there was, from that, it wasn't easy because there's all the illegitimate. It wasn't like he just lived the life. If you want to follow the life of God, it's not always easy. He wasn't walking down the street and they said, oh, there's Jesus' father. That came after. They said, oh, there's the illegitimate son. We know you. You're just a carpenter son. No, he's not just a carpenter son. God entrusted Jesus with this man and this woman to feed him. I'm going to give you my son, and I want you to feed him at your table. See, we need to feed the promises of God in our life. I'm going to give you my son, and he's a little baby. He won't be able to feed himself, so you must nurse him, and you must feed him. And every day you would be a carpenter, and you'd bring home money. See, Jesus wasn't praying at 3 years old for finances. Joseph would literally go and work with his hands. Carpentry, I used to frame, it's not easy. He would frame, and he'd work, and he'd bring home feed to the promise. They literally had salvation in their house. They literally had salvation in their arms. And God says, I'm entrusting you this. And when we take the promises of God and we entrust it, we must feed it. And as we feed it, it grows. And then it grows past to the point where we no longer can take care of it, but we watch it surpass us like a tsunami wave and says, God, this is what the plan was all along. When grace breaks in. See, I don't want you to just raise him like a normal person. You're going to raise him, and then there's going to be a heart and a hurt. But forever, eternity, it'll be Jesus when it was in the house of Joseph. Thousands and thousands of people, and God chose them. Friends, he has a plan just for you. See, it's not just about stories on a page. There was no New Testament when they lived. There was just actually a small part of the Torah. And it's trust. That's why when you put tithes in, you say, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. God, I trust you. You're not giving money to a church. If you're giving money to a church, keep it. Because then the church owes you. We talked about that, Pastor. For every one person that people say, look at all the riches, there's thousands of people that serve God in poverty and heartache and hurt, and they never talk about those. God has millions of servants that love him just for him. They're not in it for the money or the prestige. They're not on Charisma Magazine or God TV, and they use those examples, but he has millions. Am I being too hard? See, here's the thing. I confess to you, I need grace to break into every area of my life, not just the areas where I want him to break in. God, I want you to break in my finances, my relationships, you know, my dating life, you know, all that. Break in. John, I want to break in how you see people and how you see yourself. I want to break in how you see me. Because I'm not just a Sunday morning going to make you feel good. Here's 3 points. See, we don't need 3 points. Jesus made 3 points on the cross. 1 point in his left hand, 1 point in his right hand, and 1 point between his feet. The greatest 3 points of all time. So I have no 3 points for you. I just have the person of Jesus Christ. So we'll end with that. In his plan for your life is the provision. And I'll say passion for the end. Is the provision. Is the power. And the passion sometimes comes later. If you think about your life, and I'll finish with this, you can think about some divine interruptions. Amen? I'm just looking around the room. We don't have time. Because I know you guys. I'm most of you. And I can know. Some of you were in other countries and couldn't get a visa, and God interrupted your life and brought you here. I mean, I just think about it. And so he has many more things. He doesn't stop. The Bible says he is the author and finisher of our faith. And an author writes. And sometimes we're in chapter 7, but the author's still writing. And so we need to let him finish and interrupt our plan. Because we say, God, I know you're in chapter 6, but this is how I want you to write chapter 7. Well, it's called the marriage chapter. And chapter 8 is the finances chapter. But if we let him interrupt, it's chapter 7 is the compassion chapter. I want to give you more compassion for people before. And then I want to give you compassion for people so when I bring the finances, you know where to put it. And it's not just about yourself. See, John, my chapters are a little different than your chapters. So if you let me, I'll interrupt. And you'll have significance, not fame. There's a huge difference. Many people, we don't know their names, and they have great significance because they've affected people for eternity. Fame comes and goes, but significance in the kingdom, influence in the kingdom. You may not be on the cover of Charisma Magazine. You might stand before thousands, but you can affect someone's life. You can lead someone to Jesus. You can encourage them, and you can plant the seed, because may they receive Christ here, but you planted the seed here, and it was the seed that allowed the person to water. They can't water if there's no seed, but you planted the seed, and maybe you just called you to give a seed. So, Lord, we thank you for interrupting Joseph and Mary's life and bringing in your Savior, where grace came in. The grace, the person, it wasn't a word. He just didn't say, grace, grace to you. I gave you my son. I gave you part of myself to come in your life. And we don't despise the gift, Lord, but we let it influence us for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.